Yes, mingling is the way. Okay, wonderful. I was off key, but it was wonderful. Okay. So, this isn't going to be a message per se. So I asked for a stool because, and I'm not wearing my suit jacket. I don't know if you could tell. I am a little bit cold, but that's not why. But we're going to talk about how to know God's will, right? And I've been helped with some principles, and I'm going to share them with you all. But by no means am I an expert on God's will, though I have had some experience, only because I've lived longer than you all. How old are you all? Like 20s, maybe? 18? What's your name? I can't hear you. You need a mic. Okay, that's better. Okay. Selena. Everyone, meet Selena. She's 18 years old. I'm 42. I lived a whole lifetime longer than you, plus some. Anyone else 18? Oh, wonderful. What's your name?
Hansi.
Hansi. My name is Emmanuel. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I'm younger than 18.
Younger than 18? Who's that? Oh, no. No, you guys have to stand up now. That's even worse. Yeah. Yes, please stand up, young sisters. Oh, wow. How old are you? And what's your name? Melinda?
Belinda.
Oh, wow, wonderful. 17 as well. And what's your name?
Imelda.
Nice to meet you all. Welcome. So you all are very young, and you have your whole futures ahead of you. And we've been fellowshipping about God's will for God. So when I say, I think someone said it, I think it was Jaywin, he said, who wants to know God's will in their life, right? Or something like that. Did you all raise your hands? Why don't you raise your hand? Who wants to know God's will, right? Okay, now I'd like you all to take out your pens, and it's going to be a time of fellowship, and then we'll have a little workshop in a sense. So go ahead and take out your pen. Find a spot in your booklet anywhere, and I want you to write down at least one, but the list can keep going, of some things that are on your heart that you would like to find the Lord's leading in. So go ahead, take some time. It can be anything. When I was your age, I think I wanted to know things like, relationships maybe. Lord, who's your will for me? Who's going to be my wife, And things like, what career path should I take, right? And those are kind of bigger things in life. But maybe some of you are more like, what class should I take? Or, I don't know, what should I do on a Friday night? It could be anything. So why don't you write it down, and then we'll cover some principles. I see everyone's still writing.
There's no outline for this, so you got to find a blank page on your book.
Anywhere in your book is fine.
You ever need a pen?
But you have to write it down. You need a pen, you need to write it down. Okay? All right, wonderful. I'll wait. I want to make sure you write something down. Y'all are there? Okay. Some of you have a lot of things you want to know God's will on. This is pretty good. Others are more simple, right? I just wrote a couple main ones and ready to go. Okay. Okay, well, I think that's enough time for now. I'm sure it keeps going and going, and that's okay. I want to tell you right now, you're not going to know God's will for everything all at once. Okay, It's not like you're going to walk out of here and go, I know God's will for everything on my list. But I think what you will gain from this time are some principles that will help you know the Lord's will in every aspect of your life, even for the rest of your life. So you'll have a way. Don't you want a way?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. So the first thing that we need to be clear about is God's will for God. Why? Because he created the universe. And in Revelation 4:11, it says that all things were created because of his will. Everything you see is for God's eternal purpose. And this conference is on God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
See, if you're seeking the Lord's leading, and he's your creator, and he's your God, and he has a purpose, why do you think he'd be leading you in anything else besides his one purpose? It doesn't make sense, right? He has a purpose. Everything was created, the stars, the heavens, the earth, the first man, Adam, but also the second man, Christ, so that he can gain the one new man for his expression and for his representation. That, if you don't have that, you will always be lost in seeking the Lord's will in your life. Because you might just, you know, like if it's a career, you might just want some money. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but maybe it's a bit self-serving. And so when you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, you know, you have this goal, but you haven't opened at all to what's on his heart. So how can he share with you if you're not even interested with what's on his heart? Would you share your life goals with someone who doesn't care? Or that just wants to use you for their own purposes? What do you think? No? You're 17 and you already know. No way. That's not even a friend, right? So our God needs a group of people who know his will for him and who care about that. Do you love the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
Isn't that what brought us together? We love him. And we want to know what's on his heart. That has to be the context of any decision we have to make. Okay? So now, the one new man is a person. It's Christ and all his believers. Right? But I said to you all on Friday night that a person and the living of that person is 80 to 90% decision making. 80 to 90% decision making. And what you wrote down on your pieces of paper are some decisions that you want to make, right? You're looking to make a decision. And the way the world teaches us to make decisions, does anyone know just off the bat, like, oh, I know this. Do you know where I'm going with this? Okay, I'll let you in on a clue. The world teaches you to, according to your culture, your upbringing, your value system, to weigh out the pros and cons. Now just consider yourself in the old man, and maybe when you wrote this down, did you just do things in that kind of way? Because maybe it's been on your heart for a while, right? You've been considering, okay, if I go this direction, this looks really good. But maybe these things are a little bit dangerous, you know, or require some caution, right? And then if you look at this other side, you make a pros list and a cons list, and then you go with the one that has the longer pros and the shorter cons, right? And that works. Sometimes you get a list where the pros are about the same length. And the cons are also about the same length. And then you're just stuck. You're just stuck. I don't know if you wrote it down because you're just stuck. But again, if you're just living for yourself, you're really just taking a shot in the dark, you know? Actually, you can have a very long pros list, no cons, but it still might not be what the Lord wants for you in the context of the one new man. Meaning, Christ might not be making that decision in you. It might still just be you and for you. And that is against anything the Lord is doing, whether it's good or it's bad. What we want to know is this precious person. Amen? Okay. Okay, the next major point in our considerations, and I'm giving this to you with a reason. Maybe I'll tell you now. We're going to give you some time to go off and be with the Lord personally. And then we'll come back together and form some small groups for fellowship over the points you wrote down. Some might be too private, and I respect that, and we should all respect that. But maybe one of them you can share with your group for fellowship. And we'll get to more of that in a second. But certainly we need to open ourselves to the Lord. And these next 4 points can be part of your conversation with the Lord and with one another, okay? So the next point is your environment. You need to know God in your environment. We have some really sweet testimonies in the churches and in the Lord's recovery. There was a time when the Soviet Union had built a wall. It was called the Iron Curtain. And there was a group of brothers praying for God, the gospel to go to Russia. You know, it was a communist country. It was godless. The street's called No God Street. Right? But there were some who were praying for that part of the world. And you know what happened? When the Soviet Union collapsed, they recognized the environment. They said, "This is God." And many saints gave themselves to move to Russia to preach the gospel. And many churches were raised up in Russia for the one new man. But if they were just busy in their own day, even if they loved the Lord very much, if they couldn't recognize God in the environment, to this day, the Lord wouldn't have his testimony in Russia. And that's for the Lord's coming back. More recently, there was a war in Syria, which displaced millions of people. Millions of people. And they all fled to Germany, or actually to Europe. And the saints saw this. You know who saw this? People who were praying for the Muslim portions of the earth. But they realized they couldn't get the gospel there. And when they saw this war happen, they knew God was taking all these Muslim people out of the Middle East, away from their homes, away from their countries, away from their religion. And in that state of need and want, they'd be open to the Lord, his love, and again, the gospel of Christ. And so many saints rose up. They recognized the environment. And they moved to Germany. And they preached the gospel to the refugees. And a lot of these refugees are now in the church. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord must open our eyes to the environment. And you know, while the saints were there, they realized, actually, the Lord needs a testimony among the local Germans. And so, at least 150 saints from America, I'm not sure, including Canada, North America, migrated to Germany, picked up the language, and they've been reaching the people in Germany with the gospel. And if you've never been in Europe, God is dead in Europe. It was a religion. It's antiquated. There is no God. The only reason those cathedrals are still up is because they're beautiful and historic. God is history there. That's the condition in Europe. I've been there myself. And I saw some church buildings that got converted into pubs and law offices because they're empty. No one has a heart for God. But praise the Lord, some recognize the environment and we're able to cooperate with the Lord for his testimony in Europe. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, that's a big deal. But there's also small things. Like, you got into a certain school. Do you recognize your environment? You're at a certain age. It only happens once, and it's very short in your life. Where before you were with your parents, and you basically did what they told you. But then you went to college, and now it's a whole new environment. Your parents aren't around so much. And you're being challenged in your beliefs, in your logic, in your environment. So are also all your classmates and friends. What an opportunity for Christ to reach man. And you won't have it later. But if you don't recognize the environment that you're in, you will miss out on what God is doing on your college campus. Recognize it. You're a freshman, 18-year-old? 4 years will go by like this. And so, what class should I take matters. Because what class you take, if it's in the Lord's will put you right next to someone that needs God. Why do you think you're sitting by those people in class? Why do you think you have those friends? Maybe you picked them up and it wasn't related to the Lord, but they are definitely a part of your life. You love them and care for them, and it's mutual. Don't question like how, you know, oh, was that God? Too late. Now it's God is sovereign. But you need to recognize that. And God's desire for one new man, you, as a member of Christ, have been put next to them. And then even to a certain extent, gain their heart. We need to know our environment. The second point I'd like to say here is, in making decisions, we need to follow the sense of life. And my burden here is not only follow the sense of life, but cultivate it. Grow the sense of life. You know, babies when they're young, they have senses, but they're not that strong. You know, my kids, they don't feel cold. I moved from Southern California. I feel cold. I'm in Michigan. There's snow now. I never experienced that. It's a struggle for me. But then they walk outside, and it's like, eh. I have to tell them to wear a jacket. Come on. It's like, are your senses broken? No, they're just young. They don't have that sense of life. Or even thirst or hunger. Like, we have to remind them to drink water. Maybe you're all still young. You get dehydrated, right? What happened? Oh, I feel like I'm dying. It's because you are. It's called not drinking water. Or you skip a meal, and then it's having a hard time concentrating while you're studying. And you don't even notice it. But when you get to my age, you skip things, you're in big trouble. You notice it right away. Because you need some growth and development in your human life. Well, it's the same with the divine life. With Christ as our life. We need to help this sense of life grow in us. And the sense of life comes from within. In Romans 8, 16, it says, the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? The Spirit is with our spirit. We're one spirit with the Lord. And that makes us children of God. That means we have the life of God. But then in 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit. In all those decisions, what are you looking for? To be led. Right? Well, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit. But children, there's not much leading. It's like, we're children. But sons are a little more mature. They're older, right? More experienced. The sons can be led by the Spirit, right? And then if you go back to Romans 8, 6, it tells us how to be led by the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That's the sense of life. That's the sense of life. You're considering making a decision, and you just don't have the peace. You don't have the Lord's flowing presence within. And even it all looks right. Outwardly, maybe. But inwardly, No, 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 no. If you go against that, you lose the Lord's presence. If you follow it, you have the Lord's, not only his presence, but you have satisfaction. You have rest. You have life. And you have peace. This is something in you, and it's deeper than your soul, but it takes time to really cultivate that. And this reminds me of a portion of the scripture in Ezekiel. And there's a river that's flowing out from under God's house. And there's a man. And there's a measuring that takes place. And you measure someone, right? I do this with my kids all the time. You measure them, and they're growing, right? After each measurement, the depth of the flow of that river increases. And so at first, the flow is just at the ankles, right? Has anyone stepped in a river that's ankle deep? Or a stream or a creek or something? Yeah? You can sense the flow, right? But you can walk right through it. Even if it's moving fast, at the ankles, you have all the freedom to still choose whatever you want to do, right? But you know what happens? You come to the Lord, you come to his house, you come to your spirit, you come to the Word, and he measures you, right? So, you know, and it's not always, you realize you're short, but you know what? When he measures you, it's not to condemn you. He wants to possess you. He wants to grow in you. And you know what happens? You grow a little. And guess what? The flow deepens because that man, the next time after he got measured, the flow was to his knees. And now who's ever tried to walk through a stream or a river that's flowing at the knees? Has anyone done that? Is that easy? You can get through it, but you got to carefully put your feet down. If it's a really strong flow, it helps to have a stick at the knee. But you can still go against the flow. You can still, that river actually represents the flowing, triune God as the Spirit with your spirit. And if you cultivate it even more over time with that man, the flow reached his loins, which you can still, at least you could stand, you can resist the flow a bit. But then it says that the flow got so high that there was just waters to swim in. You know what that means? The flow is determining where you go. You try to step foot into that river, you're gone. Wherever the river flows, that's where you will go. And so to cultivate this growth in life, for the strong sense of life, the deep flow of life in your being, We need to bring every little decision to the Lord. It's actually in the small things. Like, who here, you're all young, so I don't expect you to say me, but who here today asked the Lord what they should wear this morning? Anybody? Dennis? Okay, me too. Sorry. Oh, a couple hands. That's wonderful. I'd like to encourage you. Okay, who asked the Lord what they should eat for breakfast today? Anyone? Okay, because you got this, right? Yeah. The Lord cares about everything. Everything about you. Every little thing about you. He wants to live himself through you. In everything. If we can find that little flow in those things, you will find the Lord in the big things. I got to be careful. Well, this is a big point. I once had this shirt I got traveling, and it had a beer logo on it. It was more like a national pride thing. It was from Costa Rica. Like, I drove into Toronto. I went by a place called Molson, or not a place, but it's a factory. I found out they make beer, right, in Canada. And can you imagine me sitting here right now with a Molson shirt on? Yeah. What do you all think? Maybe you're okay with it. It's no problem. But one day I was in college, and I was going to put on this shirt. And I was going to go play some basketball or some football with the brothers. I forget. And I went to put on the shirt, and there was a little flow. And I was like, what is that? Oh, that's weird. I've put that shirt on 100 times and never had any feeling. And so I just, no, it's like I went for it and I couldn't. I went for it and I couldn't. I went for it and I couldn't. So I just left it. But I just kind of forgot about it right away. It happened for a month. Maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months, but at least a month, where I'd go to that shirt and I couldn't put it on. You know what I realized? I will never be able to put on that shirt. And so I ended up throwing it away. And I'm not saying that you, if you have your, it's okay. No problem. What matters is the flow in you. But you know how it happened? Someone said, hey, Emmanuel, have you ever asked the Lord what to wear? And I was like, no. And so I started doing it. I'd go to the closet and I'd go, Lord, what do you want me to wear? You know, like sisters in front of a mirror. You know, you're like, hey. Or you go to your girlfriends and you're like, what do you think? You know, you go shopping together. I have a wife and some daughters. I know. How about you do that with the Lord? I mean, everything. Food. Lord, you want to study right now? What should I study? Lord, you want to go to the gym and get buff with me? Just start bringing everything to the Lord. And you'll cultivate that sense of life within your being. Just do it. Just do it. You're so young. Just do it. That's fellowship, okay? You don't have to. But I encourage you to. All right. The next point is also very important. The Word of God. The Word of God. Some verses that came to me. Psalms 119, 105. Your Word is a light to my feet and a lamp unto my path. And then 130, the opening of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. You know, you're young. And God wants to speak to you in all these things. But he speaks a certain language. Do you know what language that is? What's your first language? What? Now you gotta hear, everyone needs to hear you. Okay, everyone hear that? No one could, no one heard it. Okay. Sorry. Kinyarwanda? Is that close? Okay, wonderful. From Rwanda. Okay. First language. What's God's language? Is it Kinyarwanda? I can't even say it. Sorry, forgive me. Is that right? Is that his first language? Is that his language? What is his language? Huh? Jaywin knows him. What's his language?
The Bible.
He speaks Bible. That's his language. I don't know if you knew this, but he speaks Bible. So unless you have the word in you, you might have a feeling, but feelings get confused, right? But when God speaks, oh boy, you have two choices, obey or rebel, right? Hopefully you would choose to obey. But it's just how it is. Give your youth to memorize God's word, to pray God's word, to read God's word. Just a little bit every day. There will be an accumulation of God's speaking stored in your heart. And when you need it, he will be there and you will understand what he's saying and you could follow him. This is a very key point. A lot of times we come to situations where we just can't know the Lord's will because we've neglected God's word. Amen? Okay. The next point, and it's also very important, is the fellowship in the body. And for this, you can look at verses in 1 Corinthians 12 through 27. And in this section, you just see that all the members are indispensable. See, you might have you're a member of the body of Christ, but in certain situations, you might not be able to hear the Lord because you just don't have the word in you. But then you share with someone what you're thinking, you know, what you're trying to decide on. But they know the word, and then they say something, and as soon as they say it, you're like, that's the Lord. And you might have never gotten there on your own. But praise the Lord, we're in the body of Christ. Amen. Isn't this wonderful? We need to learn to open to fellowship in the body. When we come together to drink the Spirit together, you know what happens? The Lord has a way to make all things known and all things clear to all the members of the body of Christ so that we can live Christ as the one new man. This is so against the world. I'm not talking about go get some good advice. I'm talking about coming to another brother or sister and opening for fellowship. Just opening for fellowship. You know, they might just listen and have nothing to say or suggest. But then you two pray together and the Lord has a way to make things know in his timing and in his way. This is a new way to live. Not as individuals for yourself, but as the one new man for the expression, the corporate expression of Christ. What if all our decisions just expressed Christ? What about that list that you wrote down? Do you want to live Christ in those matters? Do you want to live the one new man in those matters? This conference, if it's just speaking about something heavenly, it'll remain in the heavens and needs to be brought down to earth. It needs to be brought down into your daily living. Big decisions and small decisions. And these four points, the environment, the sense of life, the word of God, and the fellowship in the body, we just need to practice.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So having said that, I want to give you all 15 minutes, and then we'll come back to our seats. And you'll form groups no more than four, So this row here, you'll have to just look around now and know who your group is. Why don't you just, like, four, oh, these are easy. Four, 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 four. Okay. Three's okay. Two's too little. Five is too much. Okay. Go for four. I don't know why. Four is the magic number today. Okay. Okay. So having said that, I want to say one more thing. When we come to the Lord, we have to come in the way of consecrating ourselves to the Lord. You've seen something wonderful already in this conference of His eternal purpose. You need to give yourself to Him. It's only when He's the Lord that He will share with you what's on His heart. If you're still your own boss, He'll wait. Because He won't force us to do anything. But if we love the Lord and give ourselves to the Lord, He will gladly share with you what's on His heart for all these matters that you're bringing up today. So consecrate yourself to the Lord. Okay? And then open these matters to Him. Okay? Talk to Him about the ones you wrote down. So if you wrote down a lot of them, 15 minutes is not enough time. Start with the one on the top. Or the one that's most important to you. Okay? And just open it to the Lord. All right? Something I like to do in opening to the Lord, I like to have the Bible open. So maybe we could use 2 Corinthians 15. No, no. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. So what we'll do now is we'll spread out. You can go anywhere and get away from other people's, get some distance between you. You can go anywhere in the hall. Just don't go into the, they're having another fellowship in one of the rooms, the big room back here. Don't go there. But go find a place with yourself, by yourself, with the Lord. Open your heart to Him. Read these verses. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. And just give yourself to the Lord. Open these matters to Him. Ask Him directly. He's in your spirit. He's with you all the time. It's easy to forget about Him because He's invisible. But it's amazing. Once we start opening to Him, the flow begins in our being. And then we'll come back here to this room. And we'll get into our groups of four. We can spread out here. Actually, once we come back together, we can even use other rooms. But first, let's come back together. So that means we'll get back together at 5:40. And that'll give us 20 minutes in the group. So let's go now and spend some time with the Lord to open ourselves to Him. And then we'll come back and form some groups. And I'll give you some instructions on the group then. Okay, so 5:40. Let's go quickly. Find a place and just open up these matters on your sheet to Him. Here's delayed. Sorry, that's the bad news. But the good news is we get to have a little more time for fellowship. And so we'll be breaking up from now till 6:15, 6:10. We have some announcements maybe. Okay, 6:10. And that clock's fast, so don't worry about that. You get almost 30 minutes in your groups, but I want to say something. We're just practicing to open to each other in fellowship in small groups. And here, I do believe we can touch the Lord and experience something of the one new man in this matter. But I hope that going back to your hometowns all over Eastern Canada and Louisiana, you would practice to fellowship not only with people in your own age group, but also with the older saints. Like I said, with myself, a whole lifetime more. And there's some older saints, maybe two lifetimes ahead of you. And they've been experiencing Christ for a long time. And they can really help. There's some younger serving ones on your campuses that like to come and visit you and spend time with you. even they're a big help because they're just a little bit ahead. So they understand where you're at. And they can help you find Christ in your situation. And so for this time, we'll break up into small groups again of four. But I was talking about students, okay? So four students. If you're a serving one and you're in this room, what we'd like you to do is to attach yourself to one of these groups. And you will function as a facilitator, okay? Facilitator. Not that you don't need fellowship as well in prayer. I know. But this time we're serving the younger ones. So we're just here for them. And just encourage you all to make sure it stays in this atmosphere of fellowship and prayer. We want to avoid two major things. One is being critical of each other. No one should go, duh, that's not the Lord. Okay, that would be critical. And fellowship will stop instantly. Okay? And I don't think that would happen. But I still had to say it, right? Okay. The second matter is we want to avoid good advice. Only God is good, but not all good advice is God. Okay? And even if you, like someone says, I want to go into this major. Oh, well, let me tell you all about that major. That's, you know, and then they go through and give you a lot of good advice. And you're like, wow, thanks. But God is, all that matters is that you have to find God's will. God's heart, God's leading. So you already have your pros and cons list, and people talking, you might make it longer. But that's not what we're looking for. So no good advice. However, if you've experienced Christ, you can share your experience of Christ. Okay? Maybe you're like, oh, I was in a similar situation, and I experienced Christ. And you can share that. But it's fellowship. It's not telling them what to do. They receive, and then they can also flow. It's mutual, and it's caring and in love. But the goal of this time is that each person would open up one matter for fellowship, and that all the others in the group would pray for that person's situation with the same heart and feeling as if it was happening to you. Is that okay? That's a goal, okay? We might fall short, but if we don't aim and try, we might not ever get there. This is a time for practice, okay? All right, so each one opens up something, and I'll pray for that person's situation and let everyone have a turn. Okay? So go ahead with the ones you're sitting with and serving ones. Just attach yourself to a group if you're just in a row of serving ones, that's not going to work. And there's just a row of students, that's not going to work. So again, by fours, or okay, threes are okay, like I said, but not twos and not fives. Sound good? The one's right near you, so you're already set. Wonderful, look at that. Okay, now, you can go ahead and split off and go anywhere, but be back 6:10. Okay? Go quickly, though. You don't want to waste your time. A very sweet experience to fellowship in the body and find Christ together.